This is a sermon from the archives of the First Congregational United Church of Christ in Algona, Iowa. Our legacy project reminds you that God is still speaking and no one is a stranger.
Our first reading this morning is Psalm 112. Hallelujah! Blessed are those who fear the Lord, who greatly delight in God's commands. Their descendants shall be mighty in the land. A generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in their houses. Their righteousness shall endure forever. Light shines through the darkness of the upright, gracious, compassionate, and righteous. It is good that they who lend be generous and gracious and conduct their affairs with justice. For they who are righteous shall never be shaken. They will be remembered forever. They shall not fear an ill report. Their hearts are steadfast, trusting in God. Their hearts are tranquil, without fear, till at last they look in triumph at their foes. Lavishly they give to the poor. Their righteousness shall endure forever. Their horn shall be exalted in honor. The wicked see it and are angry, gnashing their teeth and wasting away. But the desire of the wicked comes to nothing.
Our focus scripture this morning comes from the Gospel according to Matthew, the 5th chapter, verses 13 through 20. David shared Matthew 5, 1 through 12, the Beatitudes, Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. This isn't, in Matthew, not a short sermon. Jesus spends three chapters, 5, 6, and 7, preaching. Hope his folk didn't fall asleep. He preached for quite a while. So we pick it up after the Beatitudes as we continue with Jesus' sermon. I share it with you from the Message this morning. Pay close attention. Let me tell you why you are here. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness and will end up in the garbage. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, don't you think I'm going to hide you under a book, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous God in heaven. Don't suppose for a minute that I have come to demolish the Scriptures, either God's law or the prophets. I'm not here to demolish, but to complete. I'm going to put it all together, pull it all together in a vast panorama. God's law is more real and lasting than the stars in the sky and the ground at your feet. Long after stars burn out and earth wears out, God's law will be alive and working. Trivialize even the smallest item in God's law, and you will only have trivialized yourself. But take it seriously. Show the way for others, and you will find honor in God's realm. Unless you do far better than the Pharisees in the matters of right living, you won't know the first thing about entering the kingdom. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Picture this in your mind's eye. A huge crowd gathered to listen to Jesus, to see Jesus. Many times throughout the New Testament, through the Gospels, huge crowds are said to have come to see Jesus, to hear what he had to say. Maybe not all of them were there to hear him and be real serious about it. I mean, you can go to a large gathering for many reasons. One, to be entertained. One, because the speaker, whoever is there that you want to hear, has a reputation and you want to see this person. Some are just there probably to just kill some time. They're bored.
Doesn't matter why they're there. Jesus begins to preach. Last Sunday, David shared with us the Beatitudes. The blesseds are. But while Jesus was preaching those, he must have noticed some puzzled looks on the faces of some of his hearers. That's how I imagine it, because what Jesus is preaching is completely unheard of before by those folk. It's a complete reversal of the way that they understand the world to work. Might be questioning this Jesus, what he has to say. Could it really be true? Is this how we are to understand the world, understand the God that is in the world? If that's the case, if this is what Jesus is saying that God's world should be like, who is up and who is down, who is on the top, who is on the bottom, who is in, who is out in God's vision, then why are we here? This isn't what we expected to hear this while we're listening to Jesus. What are we doing here? Is this message for us? So Jesus tries to simplify it a little bit. He says, you're the salt of the earth. You're here to be salt. He doesn't mean it the way we say it today. You know, so-and-so is the salt of the earth. They're a really good person. That's how we understand that phrase. That's how we refer to somebody. Have you ever referred to somebody as the salt of the earth? But Jesus doesn't mean it that way. He says, you're here to be salt. Salt not as status, but as function. Salt not for yourself, but for the world. To bring out the God flavors. Eugene Peterson paraphrases this. That's what salt does. Well, salt does a lot of things. Salt brings out the flavor, adds flavor to things, brings out other flavors in the foods that we add it to. Jesus says, we're here to be salt, to bring out those God flavors, to bring out and point to God's action, God's way of living, God's way of thinking in the world. Salt also melts. I salted the sidewalks this morning. Did you notice? Jesus says, you're here to melt the ways of the world. Turn them into God's ways. Turn human thinking into God thinking for everybody. Not only that, Jesus says, well, let me put it another way. You're light. You're here to be light. Not the light, but light to illumine God in the world and God's ways. Not for yourself, but for the world and all of creation. You know, as I thought about this, Jesus could have really simplified this instead of using the salt and light metaphor. He should have said, in other words, you're here to be in mission. That's your job. That's what you're here. That's what you're created to be. To preach the good news. To demonstrate the good news. In every way that you can. Oh yeah, one more thing. That's the second part of this scripture we shared this morning. If you read that literally, it can make one uncomfortable because Jesus, in other translations, it says, I'm not here to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. Yeah, there's the Ten Commandment laws, but then there's also the other laws that we find in Deuteronomy. Fulfill, when Jesus speaks, doesn't mean to approve it. Jesus comes to untangle the law. Because, you know, we humans, we have a tendency, you know, our legislatures are in session right now, and they're making laws all over the place. We see it in the news every day. Some of those laws are necessary. They're necessary to live in community with one another. But there's always that human tendency, isn't there, to create laws that oppress, that exclude, that deny what's going on in the world as we experience it. They did it in Jesus' time, too. Jesus came to untangle all that, to make clear how God's law works. And it works for everybody, equally, justly. Why are we here this morning? To take a breath, to get some strength, some courage, to reorient ourselves to God's ways and not the world's ways. All of those things. To bring salt and light, to be salt and light to the world. and to speak out to untangle those unjust things, those laws and other things that we see each and every day, with God's help, of course. We gather at this table this morning, once again as we do on every first Sunday of each month, to be reminded of Jesus, what he taught, what he said, what he did, to be reminded that we are to be salt and light for a world in need of both. Amen.
This broadcast is part of the Legacy Project of the First Congregational United Church of Christ of Algona, Iowa, where we continue to remind you that God is still speaking and no one is a stranger.